This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And it is a beautiful morning out there, Jessica. I kind of just walking to the car and then walking in this morning, I didn't want to come in the building. I wanted to just take a nice walk outside. It really is, especially when you consider how hot it was this time last week and going into Monday and even Tuesday. And
right. I think we were in heat advisory mode this time last week.
It was sweltering. It was horrible. Well, it was quite a week. And this is what we're going to focus on today, because I have so much to say about the experience of being at the RNC during the week. And Jessica, it kind of started last Sunday morning. You and I were both here, and of course, in the wake of the assassination attempt on former President Trump, I mean, we were very focused on that to see what was going to happen next. And after the show, both you and I think we did it individually, had the opportunity mm-hmm. to go over into what was known as the red zone. Because we're in the yellow zone. We were in the yellow zone here at the radio station, but we went into the red zone, which is where the Baird Center was and Panther Arena and where Media Row was. And then, of course, Fiserv Forum, where the actual convention was. So after the show, and it was a warm, warm Sunday, I took a walk over there, and it was really, well, you said it best. You said nobody was there then.
Right. It was sort of like a sneak peek before any delegates or people associated with like the politics of the convention itself were there.
It was basically media.
It was basically media. Lots of security kind of figuring out where they were going to be stationed. A couple of people checking into hotels here and there. But a lot of, media and security getting ready to put on the big show.
And since there was nobody really to talk to, I saw a couple of delegates. They wouldn't talk to me at that point. I don't know if they were under instructions or they just didn't want to talk. But and then in the media center, that's all you saw. And I saw a lot of foreign journalists. And I think we played that story earlier this week where I talked to, I think, somebody from Germany, somebody from, and it was like the largest TV network in Germany that I talked to. That would be like, it would be like the CNN of mm-hmm. Germany. And I talked with her, talked with a leading reporter from Italy, talked with some reporters from Japan. I mean, because basically that's who there was to talk to. But it was kind of fun because at that time we sort of had free rein, and you could, except for the Fiserv, you could not get into Fiserv Forum. But we had the opportunity to go and get a look at the layout. And, you know, that's when I found the C-SPAN area where they had all the president's shoes lined up, which was fascinating considering the day before, you know, those during the shooting when President Trump was saying, where's my shoe? And it hit something to just see that in the wake of that shooting. But here's what happened. So they just sort of set us loose when we went to cover. Nobody said, you know, we asked fabulous news director here, Tiff Pua, and you know, I asked Tiff, where do you want me to go? Just go. Just see what you can find.
Let the story come to you.
So I was like a feral reporter during the week. And so they let me loose, and which is always dangerous. And it was sweltering on Monday. I mean, it was so hot. And unlike some of our really gorgeous people we have around here, I mean, we've got Julia Fellow, we've got Jessica Tai, we've got Sandy Max, all of whom do TV, and they are always picture perfect. Me, on the other hand, I like just sitting here behind the microphone. I, you know, just don't look at me. Just let me talk. And so I'm just not into that like some of the people who had done TV. So the first day, now keep in mind, I think we had, 99.9% humidity.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Monday was very humid.
And on a good day, my hair is challenged. But on Monday, it was like, well, my hair really does weird things in humidity. So I'm there. We get in. I was able to get into the floor of the convention right about the time they were doing the roll call vote for the vice presidential nominee. So it was packed on that floor. And it's just exactly what you'd imagine when you're on the floor of a national convention like that. You have the delegates and you have people everywhere. You have press everywhere. You have politicians everywhere. And as I'm walking through, all of a sudden I see this face I kind of recognize. And I looked and I said, hey, good to see you, you know? And I walked away and I thought, who was it? Who was that? Well, it occurred to me it was Senator John Kennedy from Tennessee, who's a real character. I mean, he if you've ever seen him, smart guy, very outspoken. And we'll play my clip with him a little bit later on this morning. But I turned around and he was just finishing an interview with Fox News. And so I'm standing there and I wanted to talk to him. When I looked down at my phone, and a friend of mine who lives in Florida texted me and said, Libby, are you at the RNC? And I thought, what is this about? And she texted a picture of me that appeared on, apparently I made Fox News that first day. Because here's
the news made the news.
The news made the news. And it is one of the absolute worst pictures. Well, you saw it. It's a bad picture. It's really bad. Isaac, you saw it too, right? I texted it to you.
This is your new contact picture in my phone.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Well, if you want to see it, if you text us, you go ahead and put it up. Just if you text Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, Isaac will send it to you because it's a really bad picture. It's one of those pictures that if it were your picture in your yearbook, you'd never look at the yearbook again. So that was the first thing. So, you know, now I'm self-conscious. I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, people saw me on Fox TV. They apparently recognized me. This is a terrible picture. So related to that, should we do sports first? You know what? Let's do sports. When we get back, I'm going to tell you the other part of the picture story. You are not going to believe it. It's all I had on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. The Brewers came out on top in extra innings last night with an 8-4 win over the Twins. They meet again today at 12:05. Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio gets underway at 11 this morning on WTMJ. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Isaac. A lot of people apparently want to see that picture. You're having trouble attaching it. Is that true, Isaac?
Yes, it is not cooperating, but I will do my best to get it to the people.
All right, so hold off, because the text line is going crazy right now. Hold off. Isaac is going to get that picture for you. So in just a minute, I'm going to tell you the rest of the picture story right after this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. 67 degrees at 8:17. It's going to be a nice day today. And welcome back. I'm Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Jessica Gatzo is here with us. Isaac's having a little bit of trouble with that picture. Isaac, what do you want to do with the picture?
Because it's such a bad picture. I'm going to get it set up on the live stream. We can redirect you there and you can see it there.
Okay. All right. So Isaac's going to put it on the live stream. So go to WTMJ.com, click watch live, and it'll be right there. All right. So that's part one of the picture. Now, I've got this. People are texting me. I'm really, really self-conscious about the way I look now. But I don't care because it's hot. My leg hurts. I've got a knee brace on. I'm just out there to talk to people and find interesting people to talk to. Now, as I said about the floor of the convention hall, it is elbow to elbow. You are like trying to get through this way, get through that way. And as the week went on, it became more and more crowded. So Monday, you could still kind of move around. Tuesday, not so much. By Wednesday, you're getting closer to people you never met in your life than you ever wanted to. So I am now making my way around. And that's kind of what I did is, you know, a lot of people said, how did you get all the interviews you got? Well, basically, I kept moving. I didn't stay in one place. I'd walk around. I'd read the room, see who was there, look to see if there were cameras someplace, look to see if there looked like there were important people. And then I made my way over towards there. So I am making my way now through the back of the convention floor, when all of a sudden there's a flash directly in my face, a flash. And I was startled, and I see the flash and I see the face of a photographer, and he just moves away from me really fast. I didn't see where he went. And there was another guy who was one of the photographers on the floor, and I looked at him. I said, What was that? And he said, you don't know? I said, no. He said, you were just photographed by one of the most famous photographers in the world. And what are you talking about? He says, you really don't know. I said, no, I really don't know. And he says, his name is Bruce Gilden, G-I-L-D-E-N. He says, do you know his work? I don't know. Look him up. So I finished my time on the floor and came back to the station, went home. And when I got home, I looked up Wikipedia, you know, one of our favorite sources in the world. I looked up the name Bruce Gilden. Okay. Have you heard of him?
Vaguely, the name is familiar, but pointing exactly the work, I cannot recall.
Okay, so Bruce Gilden is a famous photographer from New York who's known for candid close-up photographs of people. And the minute I Googled this and I took a look and I thought, oh, it's that guy. Now, this guy's pictures are usually in black and white. And they make people look really, really awful. Because as somebody said about him, he's basically a quote-unquote bully who just takes pictures and tries to get people in the worst light possible because he's with this flash gun. It's literally a flash gun camera. And he gets you so you kind of, huh? And this is where he gets these pictures. So look him up. So at some point, that's going to be in his studio, and I don't know what he's going to do with that picture. But if you ever see this really bad hair, which incidentally, that bad hair picture now, Isaac does have it up on our live stream. Thanks, Isaac. And this is one of my memories of this, that at some point there's going to be this horrible picture of me somewhere in addition to the one that appeared on Fox.
You're becoming famous now.
I don't want to be famous.
You're going to the TV now.
No. I just was doing my job. It was like when I came in the other day and everybody started calling me Bulldog. And I was like, well, what are you guys talking about? And Isaac is laughing because I think you encouraged that. And you're right, Isaac?
I think I might have started it.
Yeah,
I think you might have.
Or I think Wyatt, maybe. Also,
I just wanted to go to the convention, absorb the atmosphere, talk to as many people as I could. And by the way, I'm going to be sharing some of those very short interactions I had with a lot of famous people. We're going to be doing it throughout the morning. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Right now, it's 8:24. Let's check in with Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's time to check in with Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And Rich, I saw you around the convention grounds here in the last week. Are you as tired as I am?
No, I don't think so. But yes, tired. It was a little slow moving this morning here because we're talking the day after the convention.
Well, I do want to ask you about the business aspect because for, 2 years at least, we have heard how much money this is going to bring to the city, how great it's going to be for businesses, especially hotels, restaurants, any kind of hospitality. What are you hearing?
Well, it was very good for hotels. I will say that. I just talked with Tim Sheehy from the Association of Commerce. He said they were 96% occupied. I'm not sure if he's talking about Metro Milwaukee or what area. We know there were hotels beyond the immediate Milwaukee area also booked. I was also surprised at the number of guests I talked with who were staying at Airbnb. So there apparently was plenty of that available as well. The part that was uneven was the restaurant and bar scene, where we certainly, and I'm sure you did as well, were seeing and hearing from the owners that some places were slammed, as they say, in the tourism business, were very busy. Others saw little or no business or worse business than usual, partly as a result of office workers not being downtown. So you had this dichotomy where you had tens of thousands of people who normally are working downtown working from home that all week. And then you had the 50,000-ish convention visitors in town, but many of them were just in the convention zone.
And that's a good point, because as you did, I talked with not just delegates, but I talked with a lot of people who had come to town to work the convention for the RNC. And I kept asking them, you know, where have you been? What have you done? And they said, we've been so busy. We haven't gotten off the grounds. We're just here. And we grab a burger or whatever we can when we have a chance. And the delegates, and this is the interesting thing, they had so many parties. There was so many hospitality suites and various venues that were hosting them for prayer breakfasts or luncheons or dinners that they weren't going out to restaurants. They had plenty to eat, they had plenty to drink, and they were enjoying the free stuff.
Right. So if you were a venue or a space that was hosting those events and those parties and so forth, you probably had a great week. I mean, I walked past at least a couple of places on King Drive just east of Fiserv Forum that, you know, there were security guards outside every day and they had private events going on. So they were booked up the whole time and they probably did fine. I also heard of one of the establishments in the brewery district, the old Pabst area, where, yeah, they had these huge parties for Axios news and website. But yeah, a lot of that did not go beyond, you know, Third Ward is certainly one of the places where we heard a lot of businesses that were disappointed. Business did pick up throughout the course of the week. I think the last day or two was better, but it was definitely not spread around as much as they were expecting.
Well, and the other part was it was so hard to get in and out of the yellow zone, which is where we work right here at the radio station. And especially that first day, I think many people that might have come downtown otherwise said, I'm not going to go through that mess.
Right. Again, so not only did you lose the office workers who usually would go for lunch or breakfast and maybe stop for a drink after work, they were gone. And then you didn't even have the local residents from the area stopping down to check it out because they were concerned about congestion, streets being closed, and so forth.
All right. So what does this all mean? Will we get the convention business? Will we get more tourism? Will Milwaukee see more benefit financially from the RNC than some of the businesses might have seen here in the last week?
You know, the messaging is that it was a short-term boost for those businesses we've been talking about that were hosting events and or that were sort of in the walking zone of the convention. But the big picture all along has been to advertise this, use this as an advertisement for Milwaukee as a convention and visitor destination. That remains to be seen. Now, Visit Milwaukee says that they're, just since Milwaukee won the right to host this convention, that their inquiries have gone way up. They've something like doubled their bookings for future conventions. Now there actually is this example of Milwaukee was able to pull it off. So they have something to back that up, and they're going to be going out to trade shows in the coming weeks and months and saying, hey, this was successful. Come on down or come on up to Milwaukee. It's going to play out over a number of years, and we will find out if that was the case.
As you wrap it, what was the best part of the convention as far as you're concerned?
The weather. It was beautiful summer weather. The first day was sort of hot for those of us. The good news is you were only steps away from stepping into the air-conditioned comfort of the Baird Center, the Panther Arena, or Fiserv Forum. But the other days it was,
Thursday were beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that's a selling point certainly during the summer compared to having a convention in South Florida or Phoenix or Las Vegas.
Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Great to have you here today.
Thank you.
Breaking news. Jessica, before we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center, you have breaking news.
Yes. Vanity Fair.
Oh, no, don't play that. Don't play that. No, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
Breaking news in the photography world of Vanity Fair has your photograph.
I'm in Vanity Fair.
From the one and only.
I am in Vanity Fair.
The one and only Bruce Gilden.
All right. Do we have that picture now?
We do. If you text the keyword Libby to the WTMJ Talk and text line, it will link you to the Vanity Fair article. Libby's picture is the second to last one you'll see there.
might be the last picture in my life that I ever take. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It was a truly historic week for the city of Milwaukee and the nation. And here it is, our special edition of RNC in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go.
The Republican National Convention is officially here in Milwaukee.
The Secret Service confirms they will go forward with the established plan, with the yellow and red zones staying consistent with what had been announced.
Security measures getting into place on this Sunday afternoon. Concrete barriers blocking most roads that lead to Pfizer Forum and the Bayard Center.
Comedy Central's The Daily Show canceled their TV tapings at the Marcus Performing Arts Center that were planned for Monday through Thursday.
Good morning to you on this day that we have discussed, that we have prepared for. It is on this Monday morning, July 15th.
The folks on the ground here have confidence in the work that they've put in over the course of the last 18 months.
After receiving word of a 40-minute delay going through the security checkpoints at 3:30 in the morning, it became evident commuting is going to be something.
A moment of chaos here. I'm at the checkpoint. The dog just hopped up in the back of my SUV, kind of freaked me out. Behind me, I heard a big bang. And a big black SUV smashed into the barricade behind me.
Starve the war!
Not the people!
In nearly 90-degree heat, protesters from all over the country gathered to make their voices heard.
The heat is brutal.
Brutal.
Sweltering temps prompting many delegates to look for some respite indoors.
Hotter than I was expecting. I was trying to get away from the humidity.
I formally declare President Donald J. Trump and J.D. Vance as the Republican nominees for President and Vice President of the United States.
I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
Help for our veterans and God bless our military wherever they are in these United States. And abroad. There would be no wars.
Ladies
there wasn't
and gentlemen,
anyone. President Trump
please
was president.
Welcome the next president, president of the United States.
He's got a knife. Yes, he does.
Hey!
Hey!
Drop the knife! Police!
Drop your knife! Drop! Drop your knife now! Drop!
Gunfire just outside the security perimeter today.
King Park covered in yellow police tape in the aftermath of a fatal shooting that occurred near the intersection of 14th and Vliet Street.
You also observed a subject armed with a knife in each hand engaged in an altercation with another unarmed individual.
They had a walk up about some kind of threat report, someone waving them down. Officer, can you help me?
Another thunderous night inside Pfizer Forum. Donald Trump appearing here for the second night in a row. The thunderous applause rivaled only by the applause for former rivals Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis.
Donald Trump has my strong endorsement, period.
America cannot afford four more years of a weekend at Bernie's presidency.
What kind of a
presidency?
U.S. Representative Weekend dies
to strip the salary of the Secret Service director.
Director Kimberly Cheadle, she has to answer for this.
Dodd Jr., what's your reaction to the Secret Service head saying that the roof was too sloped to put security on?
I think it's the dumbest comment I've ever heard in my life.
Should she resign?
I don't think she should be running the Secret Service.
I've heard some restaurants and businesses downtown were expecting a little bit more.
Can confirm.
It was definitely not what we were expecting.
What do you suppose is happening?
I think a lot of people just tried to steer clear of the area.
I knew the second that this had started that probably the most important thing I'd ever cover.
That's chief photographer for the Associated Press, Evan Vucci, who took the photo of former President Donald Trump moments after an assassination attempt.
Crowds are starting to build outside the doors here as people get in line, hoping to get into the arena as soon as they possibly can.
Perhaps the highlight of the evening, a surprise appearance by WWE Hall of Fame wrestler Hulk Hogan.
When they took a shot at my hero, and they tried to kill the next president of the United States.
And now that adrenaline is flowing heavy through the body of the Hulkster.
Enough was enough.
I know I'm going to choose real American leadership and a real American battle.
A very special thank you to the extraordinary people of Milwaukee and the great state of... Oh, there they are. There they are. That's You are so easy to spot, and Green Bay's going to have a good team this year, right?
Bing, bing, bing.
We will very quickly make America great again. God bless you, Wisconsin, and God bless the United States of America, our great country. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
What a week, eh?
Let me tell you something, brother.
Please do not contact me.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And the Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I'm Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Still in a little bit of shock that a picture by world-renowned photographer Bruce Gilden that he took of me on the floor of the RNC. It's in Vanity Fair. And if you text the word Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, I think we can link you to that article. Okay, then. Let's see. Oh, I did want to say that, you know, we just shared those clips of former President Trump's speech on the floor. And by the way, that was an amazing moment. And I was literally standing next to the stage during that 93-minute speech. And when it was over, I literally got within 20 feet of President Trump and the family on the stage. And that's when my phone went out. So I didn't have any. I got a couple of pictures before they turned to us, and my phone went completely dead. But here's an interesting thing. All of the other speakers, when they were up there, they had three different teleprompters. They had one to the left, one to the right, and one straight on. When President Trump spoke, he only had the teleprompter directly in front of him. And more than half of that speech, because I could see the teleprompter, he completely ad-libbed. He was completely off script. So it's just what you read about. The guy does not stick to what's in front of him, which, of course, makes a more entertaining speech now, doesn't it? All right, 8:45, and you're a minute away from sports here on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. The Brewers came out on top in extra innings last night with an 8-4 win over the Twins. They meet again today at 12:05. Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio gets underway at 11 this morning on WTMJ. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
That means there's no WTMJ conversations this week, but we'll be back with that next week at 11. Thanks a lot, Isaac. And coming up, we've got Matt Miller. Wait till I tell him that I'm in Vanity Fair. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
I love that song. I know, Isaac, you said it's cheesy. It's time to check in with Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com. Matt, cheesy or great American song?
It can be both.
Yeah, I love that song. That was one of my favorite parts of the convention. I was standing literally on the wall next to the stage, and I couldn't see. I hear Lee Greenwood singing, and I can't see him. And I'm kind of looking, and this guy, he had to be about 6'8". He was huge. He was like a professional wrestler, huge. And he sort of grabs me by the shoulders, and he turns me around, and he says, "He's up there!" And literally, Lee Greenwood was right above me. And this mountain of a man, a real sweetheart, by the way, he had big beard and, you know, an American flag bandana on his head. He puts his arm around me, and during the whole song, he swayed back and forth with me while Lee Greenwood was singing. It was surreal at the convention. But you probably missed this because I know you're busy on a Sunday morning, Matt. But I talked about Gonzo photographer Bruce Gilden, who got me with the, you know who I'm talking about?
The name sounds super familiar, but tell me more.
Okay. Where he literally took his flash gun and got my picture, and Jessica Gatzo just found it. It's in Vanity Fair. Their online edition. It is the most horrifying picture you've ever seen of your life. And it's there. They've got pictures of Kevin McCarthy and Roger Stone and Dana White. And there's Libby with all of these pictures of the RNC. Yeah, and you can text the word Libby to our talk and text line, and we've got a link to that article. So, yeah, so how was your week?
It was more normal than that, I would say. No Vanity Fair appearances for me. No giant wrestlers in America bandanas swaying with me to America.
Well, and Hulk Hogan. Let's not forget Hulk Hogan. That was one
can
of the.
We? Yeah. We can. We can forget Hulk Hogan. We as a culture did forget Hulk Hogan, and now apparently he's on the RNC stage. So,
well, it was quite a moment to see Hulk Hogan rip his shirt open. I never thought I'd see that one. But you know what? That, talking about the RNC, and it was an exciting place to be, and I was there every day of it and saw just tons of people. But you know, a lot of people are talking about the restaurant situation here in Milwaukee because a lot of the restaurants thought they were going to do a lot better than they did.
Yeah, I think there was kind of there were two things. I think first of all, they kind of underestimated how much locals didn't want to be around the RNC. That, you know, I think sometimes it's hard for people in Milwaukee and the Milwaukee surrounding area, you know, to convince them to go downtown and to, you know, deal with parking and, you know, all that stuff, and then you add a gigantic convention with security and with parking and with, you know, a lot of places, a lot of streets closed off. And I think a lot of local Milwaukeeans were like, you know, I don't need to deal with that this week. You know, so you had that going on, which was more than expected. And then I think people expected more RNC people to kind of stay downtown at hotels and do various things and be within Milwaukee. And from the reporting, it seems that I've read is that instead it kind of was like more of an all-inclusive resort is how I heard it described, where, you know, these RNC attendees hung out within the security perimeter, hung out around Pfizer Forum, ate, drank within there, and then kind of took their buses home to wherever they were kind of staying elsewhere. And they didn't really explore outside of Milwaukee very much. I mean, we saw the videos of Major Goolsbee's employees kind of like pleading at people leaving the RNC, like, come have a beverage here, come have a burger here, please. So I think all of that is disappointing, but that just means that we Milwaukeeans have to, you know, go and support these restaurants and these bars and these places that we love. You know, this was a week. It was a bad week, it sounds like, for a lot of these restaurants, but now it's our turn to make sure they have good weeks and to support these things that we talk about that we love. Hopefully people are doing that.
Yeah, it was a hassle to get in and out. There's no question about that because you literally went through very, very intense security screening just to get into the yellow zone, which means that was before you got into where the actual convention was. And, you know, the lines were long. I got to tell you, though, The police officers, the Secret Service, every single one of them that I came in contact with, they were so nice. And you know, they knew the inconvenience people were going through, but they really, they were just nice guys.
Yeah, it seems like everything here for the RNC, minus the kind of local business bump that some may have been expecting, this seemed to have gone pretty smoothly here in town, all things in general. Obviously, it didn't go perfectly, and obviously there were situations such as the Columbus police situation, but overall I would say generally speaking it seems like this went well. And I think a lot of people talk about, you know, okay, so maybe you didn't get the business boom from this convention, but now this is a kind of a proof of concept. Now when Milwaukee is talking to other conventions, maybe not political conventions but other large-scale conventions, they can say, like, this is something we did. We pulled off the RNC successfully. You should have your convention here, too. And hopefully maybe some other of those conventions, you know, have less of a gigantic security situation and have maybe more of an adventurous base who want to explore the city, who want to, you know, get a taste of Milwaukee while they're here in town, as opposed to just kind of stay within the kind of borders of their convention.
Well, I think, like you said, though, I think a lot of that had to do because they were busing them in and out to wherever they needed to be, and it was just they didn't get the chance. But a lot of people I talked to wanted to see more of Milwaukee, and they said, you know what, I would come back, And that, I think, was the positive part of all of that.
They should. Yeah. They should come back. Come back in September and October. Our weather, our falls are very nice, you know?
Yes, they are. One real quick question, because we didn't get to it. Twister, do you like the movie?
I enjoy Twisters. It's very much a classic summer blockbuster movie. There's no, you know, big plot stuff. There's no big smart, intelligent stuff going on. It's not the best blockbuster you'll ever see, but it's just a really good time watching charismatic people chase after insanely well-created storms. And it's really fun. And I would argue, I rewatched the original Twister, and I think people have an idea of what that movie's like in their head that isn't exactly what the movie is. The movie itself is a lot of bickering and a lot of, like, marital strife in the original Twister. And, you know, every now and then there's
marital strife?
Yeah, weirdly a lot of marital strife. And, you know, you watch it and there's a flying cow occasionally and the villain is fun. But, you know, this new Twisters, I feel like, has a little bit of that problem, too, where they get kind of caught up in dour, you know, oh, trauma plot stuff. But I think it has a lot of fun, and I do think Glenn Powell is such a freaking superstar. That guy is so charismatic, and when he's on screen, you're just like, I want to hear what this guy is up to. I think we have been so desperate for a good movie star instead of somebody who just got hired, that, you know, I think Glenn Powell's really it. And I don't even think this is his peak form yet. I think this is him early days McConaughey era. We haven't even gotten peak Glenn Powell yet, and he's still really impressive in something like Twister.
Well, that is something to look forward to. I like him. I'll have to check that out. Hey, Matt, we are out of time for now, but it's always great to hear from you.
Thanks for having me.
And
congratulations on Vanity Fair.
Yeah, okay. It's not a glamour shot. I just texted it to you, Matt. You have that picture. When you see it, can you look at it right now?
I'm. Oh yeah, I see it now. Yeah, yeah. It's a photo, all right.
Yeah. All right, Matt. We'll be following you at onmilwaukee.com. You know, one of the world's most famous photographers took that picture. Thanks a lot.
That's something. You got to put that on a resume.
I certainly will. All right. Thanks a lot. It'll be my own bit picture.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Welcome back. We're kind of devoting today's show to the RNC. Jessica, our ace reporter, last hour found the photo that was taken of me by Gonzo photographer Bruce Gilden, which is in Vanity Fair.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I'm not looking like Elle McPherson in this picture. we got the text up. Do we still? Okay. Isaac says, you want to see it? It's on the WTMJ Talk and Text Line 855-616-1620. My picture taken by world famous photographer Bruce Gilden at the RNC. Okay. All right, let's get back to what we were originally going to do. And this is a little bit more serious because, as you know, Jessica, at the RNC, there were a lot of people who do follow President Trump. And one of them got a lot of attention. He was a delegate from California who dresses in a suit that looks like a brick wall. I'm not quite sure what the significance of the brick wall. I know there were other people I saw at the convention who had like these brick wall jackets on. But the interesting thing about him was he was in the first row last Saturday when former President Trump was shot.
So your name is?
Blake Marnell.
And you're from what state?
California.
You were at the rally on Saturday, sitting where?
I was in the basically front row center, about 10 yards away from the president when he was standing at the podium.
Tell me what happened.
Well, I was... Everything was going as normal. There was nothing unusual about the rally. The president came out. He was talking about, he was introducing a slide that he was showing on one of the video screens that highlighted the difference in illegal immigration under his administration versus the Biden administration. And while I was looking at that, I heard a series of shots. And I looked over to my left to see where they were coming from, didn't see anything, looked back, and the president was no longer standing at the podium. He was now, Secret Service agents were running on the stage and covering him. And then I heard another series of shots, which I then, you know, I didn't know at the time they were shots, but by the second time with the Secret Service acting as they did, then it became apparent that they were shots.
In seeing and experiencing what you did on Saturday, are you surprised the president has been here this week?
I'm really not. The president is a remarkably resilient man. We saw that when he got up and shook his fist to the crowd so everybody could see that he was well. It's totally within his character to do that, and I think he's exactly the same as he's ever been.
From what you saw that day, how are you doing?
I'm a lot better today. It was a little bit tougher earlier on in the week, but it is it's something that is getting better.
And those were the words of a man who literally was in the front row last Saturday when those shots rang out in Pennsylvania. Now, I also had an opportunity to talk with another congressman, McCormick. And the interesting thing about him is he's a former Marine who was trained as a sniper and an ER doctor.
As an ER doctor, I have to return to what happened Saturday night. And when you first saw the video of the shot that hit President Trump, what was your reaction as a doctor?
Well, first of all, lucky man. I mean, just the angle of his head when he turned to the right as he got shot, a couple degrees of rotation, and he could have taken out his posterior lobe, which would have probably taken out his eyesight and his hearing and maybe killed him. I mean, so just a fraction of an inch, like 2 centimeters, or 2 centimeters to the right, or, you know, 20 degrees rotation on his head, he's a dead man. From an ER perspective, it's. I understand it was a rush shot. I heard the scenario of the shooter, and they had a police officer come up, and he was turning back over to do, but it was a very close shot. 150 yards, if you have a good scope and a good rifle and it's sighted in, that's an easy shot. Easy shot. You can put it in within three inches if you're a good shooter. I was a expert shooter in the Marine Corps, and I could do that with iron sights, let alone with a scope. So it is amazing. Anybody who's been in a combat veteran understands that we live and die by inches, and that happens all the time. There's tons of combat vets I know that have similar stories. They have bullet holes through their helmet, or look at what happened to Leader Scalise. Came within minutes of dying. I knew General Livingston, who was a Medal of Honor winner in the Marines, who had his femur severed and put his broken bone into the ground to stabilize himself while shooting a machine gun. His leg was broken in half. His femur was sticking out of his leg. Inches, millimeters, centimeters can be the difference between life and death. I've seen in the ER for trauma multiple times where a fraction of a second can mean life or death. Is it God? Is it chance? I don't know, but we all have our beliefs. But I tell you, you couldn't have been much more blessed or lucky, depending on how you look at it, to see what happened just less than a couple days ago now.
Congressman, thank you so much. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listening to his description really moved me. I had the opportunity twice to talk with Don Trump Jr., Donald Trump Jr., and I asked him about his dad.
Don, how's your dad doing?
He's doing well, thank you.
Has it strengthened his resolve at all? Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. Don Jr., what's your reaction to the Secret Service head saying that the roof was too sloped to put security on?
I think it's the dumbest comment I've ever heard in my life.
And what should happen to her? Should she resign?
I don't think she should be running the Secret Service.
Would your dad fire her?
I didn't get an answer.
Don, would your dad fire her?
Ma'am, thank you.
I don't know. Appreciate asking.
Thank you so much.
Didn't get an answer to that question, but I think we know the answer to that question, Jessica. And during this time, of course, I wanted to talk to people who were in the know. I had the opportunity to speak with Corey Lewandowski. Now, you may not recognize, you might recognize the name and say, who was he? Well, he was the very first campaign chair of Donald Trump's campaign when he announced, going back to 2015. And he has an extremely strong opinion of what occurred.
Was President Biden at fault for not giving President Trump enough Secret Service security?
Well, look, let's be very clear. When you're the leading candidate for President of the United States, you should have every resource available to you. And if there was a denial by the administration for additional protection for a protectee of the United States Secret Service, then there should be a full congressional investigation. Someone should be held accountable, fired at minimum. I don't know if a request was made. But if it was made, the question is, why were there no available air assets? Why were there no drones in the air looking at thermal? I have been part of this team now for 10 years and seen the great work that the men of the U.S. Secret Service have done. But if there was a failure because they asked for resources and they weren't given it, that's not on the line individual who's working there. That's a bureaucrat or someone else who needs to be held accountable.
Very strong words from that former campaign manager for Donald Trump. And in listening to those, I deliberately put them together in that order, Jessica. I think you kind of got a feel of people's reaction to what occurred last Saturday night. And, you know, yes, we've moved on. We've had the convention. It looks as if former President Trump is doing okay. I think it was reflected in his speech, which was very quiet and subdued when he told his own recollection of what he experienced. But certainly a moment in history.
Yes, definitely. Especially the beginning of the speech, very much not what we're used to hearing from him as far as the tone. And
It'll be interesting as the campaign goes on to see if that demeanor remains and if he said it. He says he's not going to talk about it again. He says that was it.
That's right. He did say that.
It's the only time I'm going to talk about it. And it was chilling. That room with thousands of people in it, you could have heard a pin drop when he told that story. All right. We've got more from the convention floor. People we talked to, a lot of famous politicians. We'll tell you about it right after this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News after sports.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. The Brewers came out on top in extra innings last night with an 8-4 win over the Twins. They meet again today at 12:05. Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio gets underway at 11 o'clock this morning on WTMJ. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Isaac. In just a minute, we've got more from the convention floor. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 9:22. We have 71 degrees at WTMJ. It's going to be pretty nice day. There might be some pop-up showers, but I think that's further inland. Jessica, you know, this past week, as you know, we all had that opportunity to talk with a number of people whose names you probably recognize, the voices you're going to get. And it was a matter when you were on, you know, with so many of them. I mean, you literally could turn around and there's somebody. And my instinct when I'm doing it, and I missed a couple because I didn't have my phone out and ready. Because I did all this with an iPhone 12, by the way. No microphone. This was just strictly on my phone. And I missed the opportunity, for example, Peter Navarro walked right past me. And by the time I realized who it was, I missed the moment. Same thing happened with Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz. I didn't realize it. He had just come from his little interaction with Kevin McCarthy on the floor when he walked past me and somebody was talking to me and I didn't get to him in time. There were a couple other people I tried to talk to, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was right there next.
How did that go?
Let's put it this way. She's not a nice person. I don't care if you like her politically. That's fine. But I can tell you, this woman is not a nice person. Because as I tried to approach her, Roger, get this woman away from me. Where's my security?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was one of those. And that's okay. You know, if they don't want to talk to you, that's fine. I was walking in the one day, and I turned around. It was Tuesday, so it was right after that big interview. And there was Lester Holt.
Oh. Lester Holt, I remember you from Chicago. I'm Libby Collins, WTMJ.
Nice to see you.
How was?
Sorry, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, can I just ask you about your interview with the president yesterday?
I can't really talk right now. I got to get to.
Okay.
We have to get going.
All right. Thank you very much.
You know, you could try. You could try. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Another person. Again, I'm walking through. I look up, and here is the former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy.
You know, I've been through the last five conventions here. This is the most unified I've ever seen us. And truthfully, it's the most divided I've ever seen the Democrats, not even knowing who their nominee is going to be. So, I mean, this has been one of the best yet.
Have you spoken to President Trump?
Yeah, I talked to him the day after the assassination attempt on his life. And I will tell you, I think you're going to see a different Donald Trump. You know, in the tragic situation where poor Corey lost his life and others were injured, even in terrible situations like that, sometimes positive things come out of it. I think you're going to see even a better improved Donald Trump as a person.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You said he'll be different as a person. In what way?
Great job, buddy.
I think you'll see him more uniting the nation.
Then he said to me, I think you cut that part off where he said, we're done here. Because he knew the next question I was going to ask him, because I had tried to ask him this before, is, hey, what happened on the floor with you and Matt Gaetz? He didn't want to talk at that point. All right, now, another person, and this was one of the individuals I really wanted to talk to at the convention, and it took me 2 days to get to a position where I was able to, and that is the governor of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott.
Governor Abbott, you gave a rollicking speech last night at the convention. What can northern governors learn from the experiences you've had at the border with immigrants?
So first, they need to realize that what Joe Biden has allowed on the border is dangerous. These aren't just farm workers coming across the border. These are people who have been let out of prisons. These are murderers, rapists, even terrorists coming across the border. So the first thing you have to do is realize the threat that we are facing. Second thing they have to understand, and that is they don't have to be sitting passively. They can work aggressively, using every tool in the toolbox to fight back. When our freedom is at stake, when our safety is at stake, governors have a responsibility to step up and use innovative strategies like what we are doing. But I'll tell you this, what Texas actually is doing is applying the law that Congress has already passed that Biden is refusing to enforce. There are laws that exist that require the president to deny illegal entry, to detain illegal immigrants, and to build border barriers. And that's exactly what the state of Texas is doing. And that's exactly why illegal immigration into our state has declined by 74%, while in other states it's been increasing.
Governor, you faced your own physical challenges. What will the Trump administration do for the disabled community?
So, through my own conversations with the president, listen, he wants to see everybody have a very positive future. And I exemplify that by the fact that I use a wheelchair because my spine was crushed. I was unable to ever walk again, but I did not let that hold me back. I use it more as an inspiration to go and work harder every single day. And what it shows is what we believe in America. It doesn't matter who you are, what your situation is, everyone can rise above and do more every single day. That's what Trump believes. It's what I believe. It's what the Republican Party believes.
Thank you, Governor. Sure.
And I don't know if you know his story, Jessica. Governor Abbott was a law student, and he was a runner. And literally one morning he was out for a run. And it was a clear day, and just in Texas, and there was like a lightning strike, and a branch, a really big branch from a tree, fell on top of him.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's what severed his spine, and that's why he is in a wheelchair. And he is an amazing person if you read about him. I don't care if you like his politics or not. I'm talking about him as an individual. And his story and what he went through is fascinating. All right, there are a lot of other people I talked to, including Senator Marco Rubio, Newt Gingrich, Senator John Kennedy from Tennessee, who's a character, by the way. And we're going to have all of that. It's all coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. And welcome back. Boy, this morning's gone fast. Chris, my head is still in a spin after finding out that the gonzo photographer Bruce Gilded's picture of me is in Vanity Fair. Yes, it is. He's got all kinds of photos of the RNC, which are kind of cool. I mean, everybody from a lot of people I talk to. I mean, you know, former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. You got Dana White in there from what is it? What's the fight thing that he does? It's the guy who runs the fights. Anyway, a lot of those and a picture of me, which Isaac was kind enough that if you want to see it, you can text the WTMJ text line. Just text the word Libby. And you can see those RNC photos, including yours truly. And it's horrifying. All right. Let's see. One of the people I talked to, very interesting. And let me tell you something. Good looking guy. Smart. I happened to run into him. He was talking with one of the ABC reporters. And then as he turned and I was going to ask him a question, there were a bunch of reporters from a lot of the Hispanic groups. And he was just fluently went from English to Spanish. And then turn back. One of the local TV reporters asked him a question, and then I had my chance to talk to Senator Marco Rubio.
Senator, if the president steps down from running as a candidate, should he also step down from being president?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, candidate's the easier part. President's the hard part. And so if he doesn't have the mental acuity to be the candidate, how can he be the president? And I think you have to ask, really, I'm serious, guys. We have to ask the Democrats. They knew the condition this guy was in, and they covered it up. And the only reason why they stopped covering it up is because they couldn't cover it up anymore. They had a debate, and the whole country saw it. And, you know, part of you feels bad for the guy, you know? I don't know why. Like, if that was my family member, I'd go and say, look, maybe it's time, you know what I mean? It's clear, it's sad, you know, but it's also dangerous. Like, they saw that debate in Beijing. They saw that debate in Tehran. You think they're more scared of us or less scared of us with him in charge? So it's a bad situation all around, and it's also very undemocratic. I mean, Biden won the primary.
And he was very thoughtful, Senator Marco Rubio, in his answer to that. I thought it was really interesting the way that he expressed himself. We've got more. I've got Newt Gingrich coming up, Senator John Kennedy from Tennessee, and former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani. It's all coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Isaac, are you doing that for me? Because you know that's my favorite bomb.
Of course.
Because you know my shock over seeing my picture in Vanity Fair by world-famous photographer Bruce Gilden. And if you don't know who he is, he deliberately does not take flattering photographs of people. And I was one of his victims. Somebody called him a bully. This is true. Called him a bully. All right. And if you want to see it, yeah, you can text the word Libby, L-I-B-B-Y. It's there. It will live on forever. I think I'm going to get a hold of my son later on today and tell him that's the picture I'm going to want used in my obit when I go. That's going to be the obit picture. All right. Let's see. Oh. I know who I talked to, and we're going to get to Newt Gingrich and Senator Kennedy from Tennessee and Rudy Giuliani. Will stick with me. But before we do, a couple of people I had the opportunity to meet, and lovely people. And that was the First Lady of Ohio and her husband, the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, and Mike DeWine. And I had an opportunity to talk with both of them, and they know the nominee, J.D. Vance, very, very well. So I asked the First Lady of Ohio, Fran DeWine, what she thought about him as a pick.
He had a tough beginning, but he's really, you know, worked his way out of it and understands people. And I think he understanding people really helps them, helps him become a better leader for them.
Tell us what he's like in private.
He's just a nice guy, you know, and, you know, his wife is wonderful and they have a couple little children. And so, you know, whenever we're with him, he's always talking about his kids, his babies, you know, and everything. So he's just a good family man.
As First Lady of Ohio, what tips would you have for her? What advice would you have for her running on a national stage like this?
Well, we've never run on a national stage, just the Ohio stage. I mean, my husband was in the Senate for 12 years, too, before he was governor. So, you know, their life changes today, you know, and, you know, it's a lot more public. But I think they're both really strong people. I'm not worried about them at all.
And then after I talked with Mrs. DeWine, I had the opportunity to talk to her husband, the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine.
So how are we going to see Ohio go in 2024?
Well, Ohio's going to go for Trump. I think we were going to go for Trump whether J.D. was on the ticket or not. But Ohio's the last two times has gone by 8 percentage points for Trump. So he's going to win again in Ohio.
And what attributes do you think he brings to the ticket?
Well, I think J.D. brings a real life experiences that very few people have had who run for public office. Certainly very few people who run for president or vice president. You know, I think he can relate to a family that has had someone with a mental health problem. I think he can relate to somebody in that whose family has an addiction problem. You know, when you go through trauma like that in your own family and survive it and move on, you never, I think, lose that. So I think that's something that those life experiences, frankly, will make him a more appealing candidate. I think also will help him be a good vice president.
And last night, when President Trump walked in to the convention hall, how exciting was it to see him, even though he had been in here just 48 hours before?
I think everybody was very excited to see him when he walked in, a very dramatic moment. We've had several dramatic moments this campaign, or in this convention, excuse me. But so, sure, it was a dramatic moment. It'll be dramatic moments tomorrow night when J.D. Vance speaks, and then Thursday when President Trump speaks.
Governor DeWine, pleasure talking with you, sir.
Yeah, just if I could add, we went to the Brewers game and loved the cheese curds and loved the ballpark. So,
what's your favorite beer?
Well, I didn't have any beer, but I ate the cheese curds, and they're really good. We got two of our grandsons here with us, my wife, and we had a nice time. We're all baseball fans, so it was good. Brewers doing as well as they did not help my Reds, but, you know.
Yeah, you might be seeing them in October at the World Series.
We'll see. They've had a good year.
Governor and Mrs. DeWine of Ohio. Two of the more charming people I met. Not that I didn't meet a lot of charming people, but I'll tell you, they I see why the people of Ohio love him. And he was like a three-term senator before he became governor. And they are just a lovely, lovely couple. Met their grandsons as well. Really nice people. Okay, we've got sports coming up in just a minute. And then we will hear the... We'll hear my conversation with former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and... Somebody called. You're right. I've been saying Tennessee. It is Louisiana. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. Another really charming guy. That's all coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ. A Good Karma Brand station.
Oh, it's been a fun morning this morning. We've gotten through a lot. Okay, let me just... I want to share these with you because I think this is kind of interesting and tell you how I ran into some of these people. So going back to originally, if you've been listening the whole 2 hours, when I talked to Jessica, she and I on Sunday, before this all got underway, but you still had access to get into some of the areas, I went into Panther Arena. And that's where all of the media was set up. They had something called Radio Row, where you literally had... radio stations from all over the country. I mean, everybody was there, you know, ABC Radio, Fox Radio, all the local stations, of course, big stations throughout the country from New York City and Phoenix, just everything was there. And it was just booth after booth after booth. Now, of course, when I was there on Sunday, nobody was there. So I started wandering around, checked that out, and then wandered upstairs. And this is where it got interesting. So is I went up the stairs and then sort of most of the people were turning left because that was the access to where the Wisconsin radio stations were because every Wisconsin or all the Wisconsin media, not just the radio stations, but the newspapers all had another area. That was left. I went right. And when I went right, here was a studio all set up, glass windows. I thought, well, this is interesting. Why is this studio set up away from all of the other ones? So nobody was there. I just kind of looked around and went on my way. Now, on Monday, when there was people were everywhere, you had people all over Radio Row. Our people were there. All the other radio stations were there. And then to the left of that, as you went up the stairs, to the left again, that was where all the Wisconsin media was. But I, instead of going left, went right and went over towards where I had seen this empty studio with all the glass. And I looked in. I went, is that Newt Gingrich? And I looked again and I said, is that Donald Trump Jr.? And that's where I got my first quote from Donald Trump Jr. when he came out. But I... also, at that point, and again, there was a little bit of security there. Not a lot. There was one guy and a couple guys off to the side. And there was one guy there, and I said, oh, when they're finished, I said, will they talk to you? Oh, no, he's not going to talk to you. I said, really? He won't talk to me? And he said, well, maybe he'll talk to you. So I waited. And, you know, when there's somebody you really want to talk to, you'll wait. And that's my instinct. So I waited. And when Newt Gingrich came out... the security guy kind of whispered to him, and I see Newt Gingrich, and he kind of just smiles at me. And I thought, oh, great, I'm going to get to talk to the former Speaker of the House.
Mr. Gingrich, I'm with WTMJ right here in Milwaukee.
Okay.
How do you like Wisconsin so far?
Well, I love Wisconsin. My wife's from Whitehall. My son-in-law is from Sheboygan. We own a share of Packer stock. I like cheese curds, and I like brats.
And I bet you like Scott Walker, too.
I like Scott Walker a lot. He's an old friend.
J.D. Vance, he is now the nominee.
Right.
Your initial reaction?
I think he's really smart. I think he's 39, which is a great point to be the vice president. And I think that he will be an enormous help to Trump.
And how will he do in swing states like Wisconsin?
Well, I think if everybody goes out and votes, we'll win. But they've got to go out to vote.
Thank you, Mr. Gingrich.
Thank you.
That was my moment with Newt Gingrich. And, he's one of those people I've watched for years. I find him very interesting, find him very smart. I wish he was still in active politics. I mean, he's a commentator now, but I wish he was still doing something. And bring up the Don Jr. thing again, would you, Isaac? Can you get that ready? Because, again, getting back to this is my little space now, where I then, after Newt Gingrich, I waited for Donald Trump Jr. to come out. And that was on Monday. On Tuesday, I went back to the same spot. Nobody's there. But there, I look in the little glass studio, and there's Donald Trump Jr., and there's Tucker Carlson, and they were doing, is his name Dan Bongino, I think? You know, it's just one of those internet shows. Really, you know, a lot of conspiracy and stuff, but a lot of people listen to it. And they were in there. So I waited for Don Jr. a second time. So we've put it together. Here are my... Let me tell you something. When you get something like this with a walk and talk, and it's somebody who doesn't necessarily want to talk to you at the time, you're lucky if you get one question. You're really lucky if you get two. And if you get three, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I managed to get over 2 days, I got answers to four questions from Donald Trump Jr.
Don, how's your dad doing?
He's doing well, thank you.
Has it strengthened his resolve at all? Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. Don Jr., what's your reaction to the Secret Service head saying that the roof was too sloped to put security on?
I think it's the dumbest comment I've ever heard in my life.
And what should happen to her? Should she resign?
I don't think she should be running the Secret Service.
Would your dad fire her? Don, would your dad fire her?
Ma'am, thank you.
I don't know. Appreciate asking. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, in the background, you say, I don't know. I'd have to ask him. Well, I think we know the answer. I don't think we have to ask if Donald Trump would fire the head of the Secret Service if she's still in office, if he's reelected. But anyway, so that's the secret to getting some of these good interviews. When everybody goes left, you go right, and vice versa. All right, now, another person I had just an encounter with, and I think he's such an interesting person, is Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana.
Congressman John Kennedy, I'm with WTMJ here in Milwaukee. Can you just tell us if you feel that the Trump-Vance ticket can win Wisconsin?
Well, let me say this first. I love Milwaukee. I may never leave, okay? It's awfully hot in Louisiana.
It's pretty hot here, too.
Did I mention that I love Milwaukee? Now, what was your question?
Do you think that the Trump-Vance ticket can carry Wisconsin, which is a swing state?
Well, the short answer is yes. The long answer is hell yes.
Yeah.
Okay? How's that?
Thank you, Congressman.
Senator. I love Milwaukee.
That was Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. Oh, yeah, and he is a character. He really is a character. Nice guy. And by the way, that was when my picture was on Fox, when I was talking with him, because I was waiting for Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, and he had just finished a Fox interview, and somebody texted me, a friend from Florida texted me and said, Libby, are you at the RNC? And then texted me a still picture of me waiting to talk to Senator Kennedy. All right, one last thing. You know, there were a couple of people that anybody could talk to him at any time. They were just there holding court. One was Vivek Ramaswamy, Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, and Rudy Giuliani, who just seemed to be holding court everywhere. I happened to walk by him when he had a lot of people around. He was going on and on about conspiracy theories, about who's running the country. So I asked him this.
Who's running our country right now, Mr. Giuliani?
The Wizard of Oz.
Well, I think we're going to end on that note. I'm Libby Collins. Stick around. It's the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show right after this.